This was the Halo game that made me realize that Master Chief is a military title. And not just the big green man's name.
Yeah, I've always been confused about that, because, like, what's the deal? He doesn't get a promotion? He just stays at Master Chief?
I mean, is there something high? I mean, Admiral, but he's
General?
He's not going to push pencils, you know?
Well, probably, like, he's Senior Master Chief.
Military titles are the fucking wildest thing, because there's not... I can't make rhyme or reason out of the order of them, because it's like, I'm the private. Okay, well, that sounds low. And then lieutenant. Whoa, lieutenant sounds pretty high. Nah, man, there's like 1,000 things above lieutenant. And then one of them just gets to be called master. Oh, what are you? I'm the captain. I'm in charge. Well, I'm the master chief. Whoa, shit. That sounds amazing.
So if you're master chief, you get to have a suit where you can poop your pants. And like everybody's cool with it. And it takes care of your poopy for you.
If you get
promoted, presumably, because you know you get better and better outfits when you get promoted. That's what they call it. In the military, where do you go from there? That feels like, you know, kind of
that super, actually super master chief.
Yeah, that makes sense though, because he, my understanding is, my deep understanding of the Halo lore, he cannot take the suit off, so maybe that's why he's just stuck at Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just pooping forever.
I'm looking at the list now. There's so many things. It's like a mid rank. It's like the sixth thing you get is Master Chief Petty Officer.
And then Wait, he's a petty officer?
I think so, if I'm reading this right. That sounds very puny. The next one above it is Chief Warrant Officer. He should at least be there by now, right?
Seems like it.
I'm going on strike.
Yeah, I really hate to go back to the pooping, but do you think
it's
called Halo?
No, you don't. Don't you fucking lie to me. No, you don't. You love that.
Do you think it's called a Halo Infinite because he doesn't have to, like, eat or drink anymore? Like, he is an infinite machine of his own filth?
Yeah, there's 1-foot-long Subway sub in there that is sustaining him for his entire journey across the cosmos.
What kind of footlong is it?
I mean, he's got probably one densely packed with protein, a cheesesteak, perhaps.
Yeah, meatballs.
Meatballs, yeah. Something he can really recycle.
Dun, 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 dun.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best Spartan of the week.
My name is Russ Farshtig, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to The Besties, a show where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a video game club that goes all year round, and just by listening, you're a member. That was the best I've done that
crushed
so far.
Crushed it.
I think I did a pretty damn good job.
Fucking crushed it.
The cussing. Today we're going to be discussing Halo Infinite, a game that you have been able to play on internet with friends or enemies or strangers for, what, like a month now? But now the Ding Dang campaign is out, so we're gonna really get into it. Actually, thinking about it, we have discussed the Halo multiplayer quite a bit. Chris, what is Halo Infinite?
Halo Infinite is the latest in the Halo series. It's a mega sequel. You have to know so much lore to understand what the hell is going on in this game.
No kidding.
But it kind of feels like a reboot. Also, it's open world Halo with a grappling hook, and we'll talk more about it right after this break.
I feel like this is a good sort of warning, maybe. And we're not going to talk about spoilers in this game, mostly because I haven't actually gotten to play that much of the campaign. You really do need to have played the other Halo games.
Yeah,
it's silly.
Not like 1, 2, 3, like the other 3, 4, 3 Halo games.
Okay, can I address that really quick?
Yeah.
Yes. So I played 4. I really didn't care for 4, Halo 4.
No, it's not good.
I skipped 5 because everyone said it was bad.
Right.
But I did, but after playing like the first few minutes of Halo Infinite, I went and watched the end cutscene of Halo 5 thinking like, oh, that guy that you see at the beginning of Halo Infinite must be in that.
No.
But he wasn't.
He's not, no.
You want to know what ties this game together?
Yeah.
Halo Wars 2. You played that one, right?
Fuck off. Oh, my
oh
God.
Boy.
Who's got the time? Halo Wars is a good series. The first one was. I didn't play the second one. This isn't a spoiler. it's kind of about Cortana and like, where's Cortana and what happened to Cortana?
She was evil last time we saw her.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Pretty sure that's what was going on. But like very first mission, it's like, oh, who are you? I'm the character you sent to find Cortana. Oh, that must have happened in 5 because I think everyone skipped that one. So I don't know. It's nothing that kept me from enjoying my time with the Halo Infinite campaign, but it is surprisingly lore dependent.
Yeah, I was kind of
which I was not expecting, considering they've labeled this sort of as a reboot.
I feel like every Halo game starts with Master Chief's floating in space, and I kind of wanted to just be like, hey, here's a new planet, and here's all these people that you've never met before, and we're just gonna start from scratch.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen here, but that's okay. I know people like the lore. I know people like the characters of Cortana and Master Chief. So
sure,
they're
course.
Back, sort of.
Although Master Chief is peak Master Chief in this one.
He is.
Literally, my man in the first few hours of the game does not say a sentence longer than 3 words.
And almost all of them are like someone saying, hey, are you sure you should go in there? And him saying like, are they sure that I should be there?
that's even too long. I'm talking about the pilot who is like in the trailer and is a major character throughout this whole game, is like, whose name is a number. Thanks 343. Those are easy to remember. You're lucky I can remember your fucking numbers, 343. But Master Chief is wandering into a big room and the pilot's like, how do you know this isn't a trap? And Master Chief is like, I don't. By the way, I'm kind of sick right now, so my Master Chief impression is
spot
off
on.
The fucking chains.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I don't think we can dwell on the lore too much.
No. Chris, you have played the most of it out of all of us, right? Because you got it pretty early, while I think me and Russ got it yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
So why don't you sort of lead this talk about the campaign before we get into
so
the multiplayer?
So the lore doesn't matter because the video game is you get a grappling hook this time and you can grapple hook to enemies and then you can punch them in the face so hard that electricity goes everywhere. And that is the entire video game. Oh,
that's
grappling
hook.
Also, you can climb pretty much anything with it after like one upgrade. So for me, the surprise of Halo Infinite was that it's just Crackdown. Like, it's like first-person Crackdown.
Yeah, that's right.
The video game.
That's interesting. That's interesting. By the way, you just slipped in the fact that there's upgrades, which I don't believe. Again, maybe it was in 5. I'll never know. But there's, like, permanent character upgrades during the campaign, which is a weird thing for a Halo title,
yeah.
I feel like.
It very much follows the model of Ubisoft. I mean, obviously there are bad open world Ubisoft games, but the like core idea of like after the first couple intro missions, you are dropped into an open world. In that open world are like bases to clear out and like upgrade points to find that you can then spend to increase your grappling hook ability or increase your threat sensor ability.
It's like 5 like different types of skills, each with like I think 5 upgrades, and it is not like super deep.
That's
which
true.
I think is yeah. which I think is
the,
good because it's still weird to me that
the big problem
there,
with this is the grappling hook is the only thing that you need in the entire game, and you like have to give up the grappling hook to use those other things. So there's like a shield and there is a like a beacon that will find invisible enemies, and anytime I don't have my grappling hook equipped, I feel like I'm not the full Master Chief, which sounds silly, but that is the hook of Halo for me now. The grappling hook is such a like mega addition to the game that it should just be the core feature of the game. And any like removing the core feature of the game is never gonna feel.
Yeah, it would be like if you were playing Breath of the Wild and every time you wanted to climb up a wall, you needed to equip gloves. That's basically what it's like. I think part of it is just like they struggle to like sort of integrate the other upgrades in as naturally as the hook feels. I think they work, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I think they work more in areas that are like more linear and like there are like more story-driven areas that are like not in the open world necessarily. And in those scenarios, the shield and the threat sensor and stuff like that become more helpful. But the hook is still hella fun. Even if you're in a corridor shooting it's down best, a corridor right at someone is fucking awesome.
It's so fun. That's it's got weird, like almost tribes energy where you can shoot the grappling hook at the ground like 15 feet in front of you. And then as soon as you hit where it hooked, you press the slide button and you go approximately 400,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, the momentum really, really is amazing. Fun. It, yeah, tribes, it does remind me of tribes and also Just Cause. It feels like that hook from Just Cause.
It's, if you've never played like the Halo games, and this sounds so silly to you that we are talking a lot about a grappling hook, a feature that has been present in video games since the dawn of time, this game and Destiny, obviously there's like a lot of DNA share between them, are all about the sandbox, which is sort of a generic term for like all of the game design stuff that they sort of, it's especially prevalent in an open world where they just toss you in there, they say, here's how the world works and here's all the different things you can do in it and how those different things interact. Now, go have fun. And the Halo sandbox hasn't been dramatically changed since, I think, 3 is when they first started to include, like, tools and equipment and stuff that you can use, like the barrier you can throw down, or the jump jet you can throw down, or the jetpack. And then they, you know, focused a little bit more on aim down sights instead of just being a, you know, a hip fire game for the most part. The grappling hook really does change that sandbox pretty dramatically, because Master Chief ain't the most mobile of dudes. He's a big green heavy friend. And that, I don't know, it really changes it all.
Yeah. I keep thinking about Halo and like how there's this legend of Master Chief, right? Like everyone in the Halo universe knows about Master Chief, knows he's a total badass. But when I think back to the moments of him being a badass in the older games, they are all cutscene moments. It's all like, oh, he's skydiving from space. That's fucking cool. The actual minute-to-minute gameplay, now granted, his body count, pretty fucking impressive. He's killed like thousands of Covenant, well done. But the actual things you're doing are like pretty typical first-person shooter guy things. Like you're just running around and shooting guys a lot and throwing grenades and pretty typical. This is the first game where I've played it and felt that like, quote, Master Chief legend in the actual gameplay in the same way that like Doom 2016, same idea, where you're running around and you feel like an unstoppable monster and everyone is terrified of you. Like when the grunts see you in this game, the little guys, and they go, oh no, it's the Master Chief. I get it now, because goddamn, I'd be fucking terrified too if someone was grappling at my face and then punching me to death.
Yeah, I think there's a reason for that, which, I mean, Fresh, you mentioned Just Cause earlier.
Yeah.
And I think this has the same structure as Just Cause, not just the grappling hook, but like you are, it is guerrilla warfare once you go into the open world, where there are these bases all over the place, and you are busting in there, and a number of the like missions are, oh, you hit a button that raises up the energy cell that is fueling the base, and then you like destroy the place. I mean, you like literally explode it. And at first, you know, everyone's very confident that they will destroy you. There are effectively like these propaganda speakers across the world where the grunts are like giving podcasts about how great they are and how much they can destroy you. But as you just obliterate this planet, that obviously changes, and it feels like you are again, like the odds are against you, that you are a one man wrecking crew, in a way that, you know, the kind of quarter versions of Halo don't, because they do feel out of your control. Halo, every other Halo game for me feels like if I set the controller down and it just kept moving forward, it would kind of play itself.
That's all sandbox stuff, though, right? Like, the sandbox is fucking excellent. It's the most fun. The stuff that you, in the campaign, that you're, everything around the sandbox in the campaign, especially in the, like, not open world segments, are pretty, in my opinion, pretty boring.
Okay.
I have not enjoyed that as much.
Yeah, so if you are at home and you're curious, you should know. I would say, like, the first, Griffin, you know, because you played it twice, because it crashed. The first, like, 45 minutes are, like, linear, like, corridor stuff, correct?
Classic Halo.
I mean, Well, not classic Halo, right? Because the whole game is the silent cartographer once you hit the open world stuff, right? Like that, there was some of that in there. It was big. It was a big linear map essentially back in the day,
right?
But it was so big that, like, you know, it was fun. And also, the sandbox was new, and I spent, you know, 2 days playing with my friends trying to flip a warthog over the rock arch. Like that stuff was very. But, that stuff had staying power. In this one, it's just like, let's run through a black and red bad guy ship, and let's just keep doing that.
Let me address that real quick. Okay. Because it's important that people remember, and I had the same thought as you. When I think back to Halo, it's the silent cartographer, which is that first mission when you land in the Halo Combat Evolved and you're on the planet and you have the warthog and you drive around and fuck shit up. That's what I think of Halo. The truth is, that's like 30% of Halo, whereas most of Halo are like very linear, like you're on a Covenant ship and like doors are opening for you and it's a lot of corridors and a lot of like small stuff. The best levels were always those open levels, but they were never the vast majority of what you were doing, which is why it's so cool that this game basically made the bulk of it one big silent cartographer mission.
Exactly. But there's stuff that isn't that, I guess I'm saying. And like the linear missions in past Halo games have not been, I mean, you're on this like really, really bland future tech bad guy ship.
Yeah.
And you're shooting a bunch of Covenant who you've been shooting for 30 years now. When did Halo come out? Probably not 30 years ago when I was 4 years old, 20 years. It's a bad start.
Yeah, it is. I agree, but
I like the start a little bit. I think it's at least trying to be a little bit more cinematic than classic Halo, where you are, you know, flying through space. You know, it's not cutting to the cutscene. That said, it's probably the weakest part of the game. The linear stuff does get much better. So there are these linear sequences that lead to boss fights that I personally liked because visually it's very repetitive. It is a series of go into a different shaped room and destroy everything inside. But because it's even more physics-based now than before, and you have all these, you know, accessories, it becomes like, I don't know, like a playground of like, oh, there are these different types of explosives everywhere. Can I, you know, destroy everything in this room just using my grappling hook or just picking up exploding barrels or just using a sniper rifle before they even see me? In a weird way, like the Batman Arkham Asylum comparison clicks for me, where like that game had similar kind of muted indoor settings, but the fun was, okay, how am I going to clear this room this time?
Right.
I don't think it's as good as the open world. I agree with you, but it is a gajillion times better for me than general Halo corridor sessions where I felt like it was like, okay, now I'm going to shoot some more stuff and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I played through the first, I think it's the first mission that you get to
the tower
in the open world, which is the tower, right? Exactly. And the tower starts, there's like a base that you have to clear out and you complete some basic objectives and then you get like airlifted into this giant tower that you're kind of running up ramps and a bunch of corridors and enemies and stuff like that. You're right. Like, I like that more than the intro just because I had more tools at my disposal at that point, but it did feel like a downgrade. What was cool to me, though, is after I at the end of that mission, you're basically at the top of this giant tower, and I looked up, and there were some, like, struts and stuff like that above me, but they were super high up, and using, like, momentum and, like, crazy jumps, I managed to get myself on top of the tower itself, and that felt like, oh, this is awesome. Like, that felt like a Breath of the Wild moment where I, like, fought the physics to get myself up there. Super satisfying. There was, like, there's, like, a funny nod to Craig, the poorly animated brute that was in the first Halo demo up there. So, like, I'm glad that they allow for that stuff. And I think it provides, like, a lot more variety and expandability. Even basic stuff just, like, climbing, using the rope to climb up to the top of a mountain so you can start assaulting a base by sniping instead of just running in feels very fucking cool.
One piece of advice For folks who are playing this, you do get those upgrade points. The first two things that you should buy are the first two upgrades for the grappling hook, because one of them, I think it's the second or third one,
it's the second
allows you, it cools down faster so that you can basically use the grappling hook to climb, that it'll cool down fast enough that you can just keep going higher and higher if you keep spamming the grappling hook. And I do not know how you would get around parts of the game without that. So I would prioritize that.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk to you about to do it with all the Master Chiefs. To play Halo with all the Master Chiefs, by which I mean your friends.
Everybody's pooping.
I feel like that we can summarize this pretty quick, because we've already, one, we've talked about it a lot already, but two, like we've said already in this episode, the sandbox of this game is really fun. It is fun to just be in the world and do things and use all the different rad weapons, which, man, hats off to 343. Pretty much every weapon in this game, you can get up to some gnarly shit.
Super
with.
Fun, yeah.
A really, 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 really good balance and design there. But the sandbox is amazing, and that's all the multiplayer is you messing around in the sandbox with other people in the same sandbox. And also, the other thing is fucking free. So that feels like a pretty easy endorsement on my part to pretty much anybody who has a computer or an Xbox to just get it and start playing it, because it's really fun.
Yeah, if you're intimidated, maybe you don't play a ton of online shooters, now is kind of the perfect time to try it. A, it's free, as Griffin mentioned, but also B, because it's free, the audience of people playing it is just very broad, and so you're going to play against a lot of other people that also don't play a lot of online shooters, and you might feel like you're doing pretty good. I felt pretty satisfied with my skill set, whereas these days I usually just get totally creamed in multiplayer, so that was pretty satisfying.
Yeah, they've done some things with the multiplayer to make things a bit easier and a bit more accessible. I'm thinking about like the way that they manage like headshot damage versus body damage makes it so that like again, this is going to get really granular, but a lot of weapons are like this. With the battle rifle, if you get like three bursts on someone's body and then just like one shot on the head, it will kill them with the exact same speed as someone who, you know, gets nothing but headshots. So it's not it's, like the math they have done there has made the game less like pinpoint precision based and more about just like getting the angle and using the sandbox correctly, and
yeah, it feels, you know, more tactical than
yeah,
like a normal shooter, like Apex or something, I guess.
I mean, any shooter really. Like Destiny doesn't work that way. Call of Duty, I don't think, works that way. In those games, if you get nothing but headshots, you'll kill anybody who you know doesn't.
Yeah, the experience that I haven't had yet, and I think this is probably because the Forge, which is like the mode creator thing, isn't live yet, is just like. The classic experience is like getting a bunch of friends together in the same large map and, you know, picking your parameters and having like a GoldenEye type night of it,
right.
Which I haven't been able to do yet. But like that, you know, because the sandbox is so much fun, you know, ordinarily when you're playing the game, the grappling hook in multiplayer is limited. So you pick it up and then you can only fire it like three or four times and then it doesn't work anymore. Yeah. You could easily set up a mode where grappling hooks for everyone are unlimited and just go go fucking buck wild with it. There's so much variety that I can just see expanding out of this sandbox long term, which makes sense because they more or less are going to build this in the way that Call of Duty Warzone is built, which is this is the multiplayer platform for Halo for the foreseeable future. Like things are not changing anytime soon. So they're going to go pretty ham on it.
I would also say you don't have to be that nervous if you play big team battle, because like your individual contribution isn't quite as important.
Yeah.
And you can just, and also there are lots of really stupid ways to kill people in big team battle, like, you know, hitting them with a vehicle or landing a big alien spaceship on them. Or there's so many ways to just like have fun without that minute to minute, like, oh man, my KD ratio is so sick right now.
Yeah, I've never liked the look of Halo games. I don't know, there was something always like muddy and incomplete and polygonal that didn't click for me. But I've really come around to appreciate what they're doing. And I guess this is just the most refined version of it, or maybe I'm just finally seeing it, but it's like a cartoon aesthetic that doesn't keep any fluff around so you can focus on the action. Does that make sense? Like, there's nothing extra. So some of the maps in the multiplayer almost look like user-generated maps. And maybe they use, like, the same tool that users can use to create their own stuff. I don't know. But I really appreciate that now. And maybe I'm just older and less good at video games. But I feel like I can read the map instantly. Like, I hop in almost like a Nintendo 64 game. Like, I get dropped in it, and I'm like, okay, I get where the sight lines are. I get where the corridors are. I get where I need to go. Like, let's do it. And, I mean, that goes for the single player, too. It kind of has that Breath of the Wild aesthetic where it's so simple that there are moments that are beautiful, but there are also moments where it's like, is there supposed to be a texture here, or is it just supposed to be green?
They also added a lot of accessibility stuff. I'll just say, specifically for me and my colorblindness, all of the enemies that you're facing, you can change the like highlight that is around them. I think by default it's blue and your team is, I'm sorry, by default it's red and your team is blue. I changed all the enemies to being pineapple colored, which I guess is just like a bright yellow. And if someone is across the map trying to snipe me, but they are bright fucking yellow in front of me, I can see them instantly. It's great. So well done, guys.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I am late to playing the multiplayer. I only started playing it when the fam was in Seattle and Justin had brought his laptop and had it hooked up to a hotel TV. And I just like went over there. I was like, all right, let's try this out. And that was a really fun way to step into it.
Yeah.
Because it's fun to watch someone play the game and to like be watched playing the game, because there's like the first time I picked up the stake, the gun that shoots the stakes out that pins people to walls.
Oh yeah, the giant like slowly reloading one.
Yeah, you just like shoot a rail out that you can impale people with. The first time I used that to like kill a flag carrier, it was like me and Justin just like cheering because it was such a rad thing that I was not expecting.
Speaking of the sandbox, I saw a video. So that giant stake launcher, if you're firing at someone and at that very same second, they switch weapons, they drop their weapon in front of them, the stake can hit the weapon in midair and save them from being killed.
That's hysterical. Yeah, that doesn't seem like something he'd be able to easily.
No, you couldn't. But it just goes to show, like, a lot of this stuff, in the same way that Breath of the Wild is sort of physics determined, same thing here. Like, it could very easily be like, you know, whatever. Oh, it's an instant kill. There's nothing actually traveling through the air. But here, they're actually, like, factoring that stuff in to determine whether you get killed or not. Which seems cool to me.
This game rules. I know we'll be talking about it more during the Gotti discussion with Justin. So I think like we'll get a little bit more time and maybe finish the game. And then
I do want to say just I think there's been a lot of talk about the like free-to-play like unlockable progression, what you're paying for versus not. I think there's still a lot of room for improvement on that front. Especially when you compare it to another free-to-play game, Fortnite, which just from a what they're offering standpoint, you know, right now, Halo, one of the things that they're being dragged for, I think rightfully, is they're asking people to pay money for specific like armor colors, which is fine, but they're locked to like specific armor sets. And there's just like a lot of like nested, very limiting customization stuff that feels a little overdone. I think this stuff will improve as the game ages and they sort of figure out what's okay versus not. But that is just one minor thing that I think, you don't have to spend money. There's no reason to. But if you do decide to spend money, just be mindful and careful of what you're getting, because it wouldn't necessarily be as useful as you think it might be.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any questions from the audience?
We do. The first one is from Will. Are there any recent-ish games that can scratch the same itch as a Halo LAN party in the 2000s?
I think Smash Ultimate certainly would do the trick on that, and you wouldn't even need to set up a LAN. You could just do it on same screen.
not necessarily land, but I think Splitgate is like the kind of other heir to the Halo throne for people who are into that part of it.
Yeah, it's also funny, like land obviously at this point is kind of pointless. Like all these games are designed for people to just bring their laptops or their cell phones even to the same room and just like play that way, which is awesome. Right. Logistically speaking, LANs were a giant pain in the ass, so I'm glad.
Such a pain in the ass, but the most fun. Like
they were great.
The pain in the ass part was almost the point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yo, we got 16 Xboxes all connected with a sort of deep god-esque arrangement of Ethernet wires. And so, like, we already spent so much time on this, so nobody's leaving. Nobody can leave until we've played until it's 4 a.m. I don't know that I've ever played. I don't know I've ever recreated that experience. Certainly not recently. Not since I've, you know, since we had kids.
Yeah, I think it's a young man's game, as it were.
Fancy, yeah. I mean, online stuff, like, for me, it's still Destiny 2, because I have a lot of buddies that play that, and, you know, making a six-person party to do a raid or Iron Banner or something like that, like, that's probably the best online multiplayer stuff I've had in recent memory.
Yeah.
And I got one more question here from Mike. As a lifelong PlayStation owner, the PlayStation's life, not mine, what is Halo? Also, is it worth getting on Game Pass to play from the start? Oh, and get to Infinite. So, like, play all of the games in order.
Yeah.
Or go straight into Infinite.
I don't know how to answer the what is Halo question, so maybe I'm just going to skip that one.
it's a shooter. It's a formative, like, first-person shooter.
You're a PlayStation person, so how about this? It's like Killzone, but better.
Like, but, yeah, good. not terrible.
Got him.
Got him.
Yeah. Should you play from the beginning? No. Here's the thing.
Absolutely not.
They are just very basic and hard to play, I think, these days with modern gameplay sensibilities. When they first came out, they were amazing, very impactful. But just jump into Infinite. You know, you'll get a little lost on the story. But honestly, I've played all of the Halo games and I'm completely lost on the story. So it's fine.
I just do it. Just play the multiplayer. Like, you don't have to worry about the plot stuff. Like, just try the multiplayer, and maybe you'll like it, or maybe you won't. It's free.
I mean, this is the fun of Game Pass, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, right.
If you're going to try it with Game Pass, like, just try it, and if you don't vibe with it, there's like a trillion other things you can try.
Anybody been playing anything else that's been fun to play it? The game?
I spent, like, 15 minutes this morning with Loop Hero on the Switch.
Is it out now?
As of this morning, it is out.
Okay.
We talked a lot about Loop Hero earlier this year, and I recently tried to describe it. It's a weird card game strategy, whatever. Please look it up if you're not familiar with it. It's hard for me to sort of summarize, but I was a little bit concerned because so much of that game is like using a mouse to
quickly put things on a map, right?
Move stuff around. They have come up with a very smart controller solution for that game. When you're changing equipment, you hold down the right trigger and it instantly snaps you the equipment. When you're changing cards, you hold down the left trigger, it instantly snaps you the cards. And then when you're placing stuff, you are kind of moving the analog stick as if it were a mouse, but that's relatively minimal considering. It felt good to me. Felt like Loop Hero on Switch, certainly easier than like resting a laptop on my, lap.
Man,
So if you dug Loop Hero, or if you didn't touch it and you like kind of card-based strategy games, definitely check it out because it's dope as hell. One of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to play it on Switch. I think I would have played more of it if it had been a Switch-like launch, or it launched on Switch alongside PC. I mean, I've just been playing more Binding of Isaac. I turned on Endwalker, the Final Fantasy XIV expansion. Long enough to make a beautiful bunny man, and then
wait. You made a new character?
No, there's these things called a vial of Fantasia that you can use to completely change your character. So I switched my little tiny Lalafell boy into a big beautiful bunny boy, and I regretted it immediately.
Yeah,
that's not my.
You can't make that change so late in the game.
I can't make it. It's I hate him. I hate him so much. And then I like played through the first cutscene, and I literally had this moment where I showed up to the new big sort of capital city of the expansion, and like, you know, half an hour in, and I was like, I can't do this right now. Like, I don't have the time to really dip into this right now, and I want to be able to savor it.
Yeah.
And so I figured I was like a year late to Shadowbringers, the last DLC that everybody said was like, oh, this is the best Final Fantasy story ever. So I don't think I mind doing that again with this one, and just, you know, whenever I have a clear chunk in my schedule, uh-oh, just getting
the,
in there.
The listeners are gonna be mad. They want the full Griffin update on Endwalker. Yes.
I mean, it takes a lot of time to get into one of these, and it's like the busiest time of year.
It's true.
For me personally. And so like I can't do that. I can't do that, y'all. And I almost don't want to spoil it for myself by playing an hour of it every week. And because that's how you lose momentum, especially with an MMO. So, you know, I'll have things to say about it someday.
I do want to ask you, though, please describe the experience of traveling with Binding of Isaac, which is, in my opinion, the best travel game ever
made. It's so good. It's so good. And I really do think Repentance, the DLC that just came out, is like what makes it for me.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's the most like, okay, one more run game that I've maybe ever played, more than like Spelunky, where like if I have a mission in mind or I have like an unlock that I'm going for, like I can't put the game down.
Yeah.
Like I have to keep trying and, you know, find the right synergy of items that I know is going to like carry me through. I have put a lot of time into that game in the last couple weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like the Switch is the only thing I really play these days, which I can't wait to talk about GOTY stuff, because I think all my stuff is on the Switch because I have a new baby, and so I can't be up in my office all day playing PC.
Steam Deck, baby, someday.
Someday, yeah, in 2029, the Steam Deck console. Yeah.
I think it should
really good.
It shouldn't be diminished that Binding of Isaac, because it auto saves like every single room you walk into, there is never a moment where you can't turn the game off and know that your progress is saved. And that is a very rare thing for most games.
And you're just constantly unlocking stuff.
Yeah.
There's like pretty much every time you finish a run, you unlock something new. But also like there's little kind of like hidden achievements almost that you just like every run you'll unlock a couple new items or a new challenge to play through, or a new, you know, whatever. It's got so many carrots on so many sticks, and it's wild how this game went from like an afterthought to me to like one of my favorite sort of gaming experiences right now.
Chris Plant,
y'all, I saw that licorice pizza.
P.T. Anderson,
back, baby. Yeah. P.T. Anderson, he's done it again. It's pretty good.
First the Resident Evil movies, and now this.
Hey, now. No. Getting your Andersons mixed up. See what you're doing, you little goofball.
Is that all you had to say? You just wanted to say the name of the movie?
I mean,
the
game's
good?
Like, that movie's not out in most places. It comes out like at Christmas. So, you know, I don't want to spoil that movie for people. I'll just say that I largely enjoyed it.
I do know, all
moments.
I know really that is that the son of Philip Seymour Hoffman is the star of it. Did that gene pass along to him, the acting gene?
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's great. Cooper Hoffman, a star. Alana Haim, also a star. The entire Haim family is in the movie.
I like
for
that.
People who like Haim.
All the Haim.
a gaggle of Haims.
I want to thank the following people for writing reviews about the Besties podcast. It's a podcast. We have Ben, the Jedi, Dangerous Egg Steam, Not Forrest Gump, The Criddler, and Blazing Scourge. Thank you for writing reviews. We just very recently passed 4,000. Oh my God, 4,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. So awesome. Love to see it. We appreciate you guys and everyone else who has written reviews for the podcast. It means a lot. It helps share the show. If you don't have Apple Podcasts or haven't figured out how to write a review, you just share it on Twitter as well. That's another option. But regardless, we appreciate all of it.
I just wanted to mention, I started a bold new video series on the McElroy Family YouTube channel where I play through a randomizer run of Link to the Past.
Oh my gosh.
As Guy Fieri, and also One Hit Kills are turned on. And it was wild.
I feel like if you're going to play as Guy Fieri, you should probably say his name how it should be said.
Fieri.
It feels, to be honest, guys, when I do say it like that, I do feel like Chris Pratt trying to do Mario.
Fair. We haven't heard the voice yet. We don't know what the voice is. He said,
right, but it's
TBD.
Okay, but my man is kind of in a Kobayashi Maru, isn't he?
He is.
Because if he gets out there and he's like, hey, everyone, it's me, Mario, then everyone's going to be like, that sucks. But if he does like
full-on,
a really, really robust Italian accent, there's also going to be people who are like, I don't know, Christopher. Are you sure?
At least we know that Keegan-Michael Key will be fine as Toad. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, unless they try to make him go like, just Toad's fucking voice. What? Yeah.
Is that your pitch? I think you should just play Toad. That was spot on.
It was pretty good. Toad, Master Chief, I've got range.
You do.
Next week. Oh, wait, Chris.
Wait, oh, yeah. So here's what we talked about this week. We talked about Halo Infinite, the main game and the multiplayer. They're available on Game Pass. We talked about Loop Hero Switch. We talked about Binding of Isaac and the new expansion to Final Fantasy XIV, Endwalker. And we talked about Licorice Pizza. It's pretty great. And yeah, that's it. And then next week, take it away, Griffin. What's next week?
Next week is the GOTY. We're there. We're approaching the event horizon of the Game of the Year discussions. We have our picks picked out. I think, do we have the audience votes tallied to put together the bracket yet?
People who listen to this now, you have one day left, if you are listening to this the day that it came out, to vote on the listener bracket, and it is at the Besties Pod on Twitter. The vote closes Saturday night.
Make your vote count.
So now you know what you're doing Saturday night is you're sitting down in front of your computer and making four nerds talk about which virtual delights they think are the best. No, I'm looking forward to it. I genuinely I don't know what is even going to be on the bracket, let alone who is going to come away with the crown. So
I'm excited.
We will see. Okay, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening to The Besties or The Besties Pod on Twitter. We have merch over at, is it at McElroyMerch.com? Is that where we're selling them?
I think they're all together, yes.
Yeah, I think they're all one big lump. So yeah, we got merch there. And I think that's it, yeah? So make sure you join us again next week for the beginning, part one of our GOTY discussions. And until then, this has been The Besties, because wouldn't it be better... Wouldn't it be better if we picked the best games together?
Totally.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Besties!